This is the Hoosier Ag Today podcast for this Tuesday morning, the 6th of August, 2024. Thank you for joining us. I'm Eric Pfeiffer with the latest Indiana farm news, weather, and markets, all brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. Learn more by stopping into your local branch and talking about your ag operation today. Or, of course, visit ffbt.com. CJ Miller joins me for news coverage today. He checks in from the Indiana State Fair in the Indiana FFA Pavilion. And I have a conversation with Senator Mike Braun about the likelihood of a farm bill getting done this year. Here's a hint. It's not very good. Ryan Martin has his Indiana farm forecast on the way. Maybe some rain up north. And we check in with John Zenker at Risk Management Commodities. We saw higher markets on Monday. Analysis on the way here on the HAT Podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eiley Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eiley steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
The chances of getting a farm bill done this year getting even slimmer and supporting FFA at the state fair. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. There aren't very many working days left for Congress to get a farm bill across the finish line this year. Indiana's Mike Braun sits on the Senate Ag Committee and says he and his Republican colleagues are trying to get more farm in the farm bill, which is why he doesn't think it'll happen until he's out of the Senate in 2025. As he seeks the Indiana governorship.
If we do try to get it done, I don't think we're going to get as much in it as what we should. So, of course, it'll be kicked down the road. It'll be the current farm bill that extends itself. And I think as kind of hot as things are politically, I think we could be in better shape if we maybe wait until next year.
While the House Ag Committee has passed their version of the farm bill, Senate Ag Committee Chair Debbie Stabenow has yet to put hers forward for a vote. The Michigan Democrat is retiring at the end of this Congress. She's previously said that she would rather continue kicking this farm bill discussion down the road than strike a deal with Republicans that would limit climate funding and social safety net programs. Braun says,
the current farm bill, I know we need to get it updated, addressing issues that are current. But if we do it just for the sake of getting it done, I'm afraid we may not be happy with it. And yes, I know Debbie well. She's got things that she wants to make sure that live on in terms of a legacy, but I don't know that that's going to be what we want in the farming community.
It was just a couple of weeks ago that Farm Bureau President Zippy Duval wrote, quote, if Congress fails to pass a new and improved farm bill, they'll be responsible for leaving farmers in a lurch at a time when we've lost more than 140,000 family farms in just 5 years. He continued saying that Congress must not put farmers and families on the back burner. The House Ag Committee has done its part so far. It's time for the Senate Ag Committee to move this process forward. The State Fair is back open today. CJ Miller is standing by there now on the north side of the fairgrounds with a place you can take the kids for a fun educational experience. CJ?
Thank you, Eric. I'm inside the Indiana FFA Pavilion, and I am with Ethan Wallheater. He is the Indiana FFA State President. And first of all, Ethan, tell me all about what folks can expect here inside the Indiana FFA Pavilion at the State Fairgrounds.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have an awesome setup here. We have our main attraction, which is our putt-putt golf course. Kids, adults alike are able to play a round of 18 holes of putt-putt golf. We have a little area where kids can explore farm to table and how it works when you grow your own food. We also have a petting zoo, and you can learn more facts about different animals that are there. But really, it's a great place for fellowship, but also be able to do some fun things and learn more about FFA and agriculture.
And Ethan, the best part of coming inside the Indiana FFA Pavilion, all the activities absolutely free.
Yeah, 100%. We do take donations, but it's really just an opportunity for anybody to be able to relax and just have some fun for no cost at all. And that's just a really cool opportunity that we get to do.
Ethan, if folks are interested in more information about Indiana FFA, where can they find it online?
INFFA.org is a great resource where you can find more about the association, foundation, and center, and all the parts of Indiana FFA.
Don't forget the Indiana FFA Pavilion here on the north side of the Indiana State Fairgrounds and Event Center. Once again, the activities absolutely free going on now throughout the course of the Indiana State Fair. And Ethan, thank you so much for joining us here on Hoosier Ag today.
Thank you very much. We'll be here for the full state fair, so swing by and see us.
My kids still think they can beat old dad at putt-putt, so we'll be out there soon, Ethan. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Attention Indiana farmers, have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. Looking at a Tuesday that's going to be relatively similar to what happened yesterday, with some very strong shower and thunderstorm activity north into Michigan, and a little bit of that trying to spill over the border down into northern parts of Indiana. I will not rule out showers and thunderstorms through morning and midday hours in northern Indiana. I think this afternoon we are done with it and it pushes off to the east. Temperatures today a little bit cooler than yesterday. Not cool, but cooler. Not as warm, I guess we should say. Humidity is still going to be a thing through the day, although I do believe for tomorrow we should see the humidity break ever so slightly. Slightly cooler temperatures then in as we move through Wednesday and into early Thursday. Temperatures start to warm back up very, very quickly late in the week. Thursday night through Friday, and we are very warm, very humid through the weekend. However, after the moisture, any of it that we see today is done, we should be moving into a longer-term dry window. I have us precipitation-free for tomorrow through the weekend, and I think early next week, even Monday, Tuesday, we are mostly dry. We definitely have plenty of humidity around, so I won't rule out some pop-up shower and thunderstorm action, but most of it is going to stay south in the Ohio Valley and mid-Mississippi River Valley. Temperatures are going to be quite warm, some of the warmest summer temperatures of the year, and I think we can stretch that dry move all the way through next Thursday. Our next round of moisture may not show up until the end of next week. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Farmers need flexibility, which is why Farm Credit Mid-America offers farm real estate loans with flexible options built for farmers. With a wide range of loan products and competitive interest rates, we are able to tailor a farm real estate loan to meet your needs. If you're thinking about expanding your farm, visit us at fcma.com/real estate to learn more. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
The Midwest Weed Control Field Day is coming to Purdue's Miggs Horticulture Research Farm on Wednesday, September 11th in Lafayette, Indiana. Hear from experts on weeding tools of all scales, watch field demos, and make connections with other farmers, companies, and suppliers. For more information about the Midwest Mechanical Weed Control Field Day, call Crystal at 217-840-2128 or visit online and search Midwest Mechanical at thelandconnection.org. That's thelandconnection.org for the Midwest Weed Control Field Day. Gains across the grain complex. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Monday Farm Market Review.
I'll have final numbers from Monday trade coming in just a moment. First, let's get market analysis from John Zanker at Risk Management Commodities. John, the overnight markets didn't look all that promising, but here we are at the end of the day on Monday, and a bit of a turnaround for corn and soybeans. As we look at the lows here for new crop, let's talk corn here first. I put in the low here at 396 on Dees corn, on soybeans, Novi beans, 1015. Here at the end of the day, we're looking a lot better. What happened here as the day went along that we're in so much better shape than we were coming out of those overnight numbers?
Well, of course, we've got this meltdown in equities across the globe, led by Japan. Nikkei down 12.5%. I've read where that's the worst one-day fall since Black Monday in 1987. I've also read where it's their worst day ever. So we've had a bloodbath here, but not quite that bad. We have bounced off the lows and in most indexes, and I think that helped change the tide, turn the tide a little bit in corn and soybeans, wheat as well. So yes, all three of those well off their lows, spooked those that were getting back into the bearish mode, wanted to see these markets head to new lows. So that area below 1020, 1017, and the no beans has certainly held pretty well. We've ventured down there three or four times and bounced. And I think the weather is some people concerned, and it should. Not a lot of rain in the forecast for the next 2 weeks. Not a big deal here in the Eastern Corn Belt where we've gotten some good rains, but we have some dry areas out west especially that could use a soaking here pretty soon, Eric.
So nothing that we should get too overly excited about. There's not a whole lot that's changed in the way of fundamentals or demand at this point. We shouldn't get too terribly excited.
We had good export shipments in corn, 47.8. Beans were seasonal at 9.6. But that 47.8, if you compare it to a year ago, we were already seeing a lot of competition from the Brazilian farmer. And so far, that's not shown up quite a bit. Now, part of that problem is the Brazilian farmer has not been a very strong seller of the remaining crop and their new crop. So kind of the same boat that we're in here. So corn's been a little reluctant to follow soybeans today. And I think the main problem there, Eric, is that we just have a whole lot of corn left to sell.
How long can we expect this to last? Are we looking at, do we really need to just keep following these equity markets to see what's going to happen here with these commodities?
I think it's mostly a weather thing still. You could sometimes when the equity markets are down, we talk about some of that fund money moving over into commodities. We might be seeing a little bit of that today. But I think that at least early on when we saw these dramatic numbers, this dramatic slide that we were seeing, that's just not good for the economy overall. It might be showing a potential recession, and that's not good for commodity prices. So I'd love to see things rebound in the equities for numerous reasons, but I think that would be the best thing that we could see for commodities at this point.
John Zanker there, Risk Management Commodities. You can reach him at 866-837-9027. September corn finished up 4.25 on Monday, 390 3/4, 407 on Dees corn, up 3 3/4. September and November beans both up 13.5, 1031.5 on Sep beans, Novi beans up to 1040 3/4. September wheat up 0.5, 539.5, Dees wheat up 1 cent, 563.25. October live cattle down over $3, 179. October lean hogs down 85 cents, 75.72. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.